Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Bright Khumalo. Tackling your stock-related questions this evening are Graham Kerner from Kerner Perspective and Rikas Riedes from PSG Wealth Santin. Send those questions via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. I'll start with you, Rikas. Can you give us a sort of a local market wrap and how things are looking on the local front? I mean, we've spent basically the last 3 days in the red.
Well, the last 3 days has just been an absolute pressure downwards. We had an early sort of trying to recover in the market this morning, but that just lost steam completely in the afternoon. And I think if it wasn't for the NASPAS process, two companies, we would have been even further down. It's just a broad decline across the board at the moment.
Yes, and good evening, Graham. How are we looking on the US front? I mean, I think we were also trending negative, in the last day, last 2 days as well. So how are we looking, at open, quote-unquote, this morning? New York time.
Yeah, well, I think the U.S. markets are taking their cue from Europe because, Madame Lagarde told everybody that inflation is a problem and, they really don't want to do it, but they're gonna basically cease the asset purchase programs and they're going to raise interest rates quite aggressively. But I think it was really the guidance around growth that shook the markets. In fact, sort of mid-afternoon, our market looked as though it actually was going better. And then, unfortunately, the ECB, just sort of took the wind out of the sails. Because you can look right across Europe. You're down, call it 1.5% on average, and early trade in the US also looking quite bleak. And other than the tech sector in on the JSE, which is, as you say, nice passing process, really not much to cheer about, and some of those that are more geared to global growth, like resources, obviously bearing the brunt of the sell-off. But quite an interesting day. Small caps actually only just down, and I think that's been, for me, one of the themes that, small caps and mid caps have actually been, in many cases, holding their own while you've got this incredible volatility in Richemont and NASPAS and the likes. A lot of the SA stocks that I'm sure we'll cover some of them this evening, where they're under 10 multiples and they're rebuilding their income statements and balance sheets. I think there's some support there, but it's pretty grim. There's not a lot to cheer about with the prospect of inflation and tighter monetary policy.
Okay, let's double down and double click on NASPAS and Prosus. Why are they up in the past 2 days? I mean, we saw the likes of Alibaba closing up 27% last night in New York. Surely the news flow from the Politburo is starting to shape up, Graham?
Well, my sense is that, China is obviously slowing quite markedly, and the prosperity for all policy, if you want to call it that, which seems to be more of a political play than anything else, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, they were very much in the crosshairs of that. But, with this more recent lockdown, and they are starting to ease up a little bit, but it feels as though somebody's thrown a handful of sand into the gearbox that is the Chinese economy. And I think there's a realization that, they actually need to tread quite warily, and sectors like tech and construction, I think, need support. So I think it's really around that maybe some of the rhetoric is starting to ease up a little bit. But, Tencent themselves the other day weren't sort of painting a particularly rosy picture for the shorter term outlook. But I think it's just a case of, at their core, they still, have lots of subscribers, lots of games, lots of ad revenue and all those good things. The multiples are almost fractions of what they used to be, given the combination of solid earnings growth over quite a period of time and share prices that have imploded. So I think it's a case of, they've just been hit so hard that the market's starting to say, well, maybe, they're not dead and they're not going to get destroyed by this prosperity for all
narrative
rejig there.
Yeah. Yeah, look, are you still following these very closely, Rikus? I mean, they're still the bellwether somehow of, you know, the top 40, to say the least.
Yeah, they're each part of a market, someone has to. So, for example, Naspers is probably about 27-30% up from its lows recently. So they've had a good rally, and I think, as Graham said, there's a perception that maybe the worst is over as far as the political interference is concerned. But that's in the Western Hemisphere. I mean, take a look at what happened with Ant today. There was a Bloomberg News article that says, oh, maybe Ant, you know, can revisit the idea of having a foreign listing. The Chinese authorities came out almost immediately after hours, which they don't normally do, you know.
Yes, yes.
You only get them during business hour and just slap that back. So don't for a moment think that there's a relaxation of control or trying to steer a recovery in that sector.
Ah.
And I think that risk, you know, tends to disappear once the idea that these things are possibly at a bottom comes into play. That being said, I mean, we can have, you know, from these levels in both the Australian process and for that matter, Tencent, you know, there's nothing stopping it from having another very useful 10, 15, 20% gain. But that doesn't change the picture of both the political interference and the fact that the Chinese economy, which is an export driven, is in serious trouble because they can't export, because we are facing the fear and the sentiment of that we're possibly heading into a global recession.
Yeah, well, interesting just news coming out from China in general. I mean, I think yesterday was interesting to find that, you know, they started their process of getting rid of that backlog of video games that they haven't, you know, given a thumbs up to. So, and we got excited then, and then this happens today. So you get excited and then they bring you back, you know, right back down. So I guess we just have to tread carefully if you own those shares there. We have a question here about Mr. Price. Well, not one, but a couple of them. Basically, the gist of the questions is whether Mr. Price is still, you know, a good long-term investment. I mean, how are they navigating the South African consumer and getting, you know, parts of their wallet, considering that there's really not much to give? I'll start with you, Rikus.
Yeah, I think it was a reasonable set of results in very difficult circumstances. So the macro is against them, but their performance was great. I mean, taking a look at their online growth, which is still a very small part of their sales. I mean, it's a type of growth we saw out of the Checkers type of online thing. So obviously they're making inroads as far as market shares are concerned.
Yeah.
The margins were okay. In other words, it's a decent set of results with the macros against them. So I don't think they're extremely cheap at current prices, nor expensive. So longer term, if that's your outlook, it's a classy retailer to be in, specifically taking into consideration the market sector that they are servicing.
Yeah, and you, Graham, any thoughts on Mr. Price?
I think Mr. Price for so long was one of those companies that was just revered. It was when everybody else was sort of making, you know, massive blunders in retail, they just seemed to have the perfect model, you know, rolling out stores. They understood their customers really, really well. So if you look at a 20-year graph on this thing, you'd see it was phenomenal. So from, you know, the early 2000s up to 2015, they didn't put a foot wrong. And then came the seasons were slightly off, and you got the feeling that it also, let's be honest, it's great to see them, you know, clawing back some market share, you know, on the retail numbers. But the reality of it is, you know, Pepkor has got a good offering in that space. You've seen Pick and Pay moving more and more into clothing. I think TFG and Jet. So it's a very competitive space. So I think Rick has hit the nail on the head. You know, it's not cheap. So, you know, if you say it's, we'll call it $12 worth of earnings, you know, trading at, call it 200 Rand, that's on the wrong side of sort of 15 PE multiple. And my sense is it'll be difficult for them to maintain sort of double-digit earnings growth in this competitive environment. So I think it's a really well-run business, but the price doesn't feel right for me. But interestingly, as I say, I mean, the price is lower today than it was at quite a few points in the last 10 years. So I think, unfortunately, the landscape has changed and it's becoming increasingly difficult for people to move the needle, especially, you know, there's a Mr. Price outlet in almost every mall now. So the footprint is pretty good, but a well-run business, but I think the price is wrong.
Okay, so the price is not right on Mr. Price. Before we go to the break, we have some time here, Rikus. Let's talk about Coronation. This is a question from Russell, who wants to know if, you know, if this is winter, can we look forward into some sort of a spring? Because, I mean, they're leaking assets under management, which I don't think is that much. But he's asking if, you know, this, maybe there might be an opportunity here to get in, since they're down about 30% over the last year.
I don't think this is really a environment or a market environment for asset managers. I mean, you know, I'm just thinking of two overseas ones, Quilter and 91, which I think are probably better investment managers considering their track record than Coronation over the past few years.
Yeah.
And they are down about 30-40% from their highs. So first of all, I don't think it's the correct environment for asset managers, and I don't think Coronation is the pick of the bunch. So I'll leave it there. In other words, if you want to go into that space, I think there's probably better avenues of doing that, but I wouldn't even do it in this market environment.
Maybe in general, the asset management space, Graham, I just want your thoughts on that, whether it's, you know, in this volatile environment, are they investable at all?
Yeah, I think they are investable. I mean, a lot has obviously been said about, you know, Coronation, you know, losing AUM. But they've still got over 600 billion rands worth of assets under management. Even on institutional rates, that's a pretty good income flow.
Yes.
I have a slightly different view. And, you know, that is that, you know, if the half year delivered 2 rands worth of earnings, and let's just normalize it if we could, you know, that gives you 4 rands worth of earnings at 33 rand a share. That's well under a 10. I'd say there's quite a lot of optionality. So if markets do start behaving, and I'm not saying for a second that they're going to attract a whole lot of new AUM, but, you know, markets will recover if you take a longer term view. But even if you look, I think they declared an interim divvy of 2 rand 14. You take 2 rand 14 over 33 rand, that's a pretty decent yield. So you're being compensated for the state of the market. So, but you know, whether you buy Coronation or 91 or both, I think they are actually quite cheap, and it's maybe not a bad time to be adding them. But I think the same is probably true for things like Old Mutual as well. You know, obviously the floods and things like that have hurt them from an operational point of view, but I'm rambling on, but I think asset managers are actually quite a good play at this point in the cycle.
Okay, you like asset management because the price is not too bad, and obviously you're getting paid to wait there. I sort of like that thought process as well. We have a question on the SMS line which says, with GDP back to pre-pandemic levels, would it be wise to buy REITs and cement producers? This is coming from the SMS line from Leo. Rikus?
No and no, I think. we were having a chat about, well, specifically, I won't go into REITs, so I'll concentrate it in retail. I think those have got a problem. The sort of more heavy industrial or very specific niche, one can take a look at, but I think to say that, the property market is just, at the point where it starts going to push higher, I think is a bit fanciful. So not in the current environment. And I think as far as the cement producers are concerned, we've got PPC and we've got Sepaka. I don't think P- PPC is over the worst of its troubles yet, and I think Sepulchre is probably just a little bit too small at the moment.
Yeah. Okay, so that's an interesting outlook on these two sectors. But I wanna talk to you, Graham, about REITs specifically. I mean, with what you know, Rikus has said, keeping that in mind, and obviously looking at what's happening in terms of you know mergers and acquisition activity in that space, wouldn't you want to participate, you know, in some merger arb, you know, where you know there's a lot of activity, because obviously the sector is trying to consolidate on these levels. I mean, the price sort of makes sense, and everyone is bearish on these businesses. And obviously, the debt is becoming due in some of these things, and everyone is fragile, so they're keen to do a deal quickly.
So if you take two vulnerable businesses and you merge them, it doesn't suddenly miraculously make a great business.
Correct.
So if somebody offers you you know, a piece of paper that's got the same fundamental characteristics as what you hold, I wouldn't argue that I would argue that's not exactly, you know, two steps forward. You know, and I think Rikus was talking about retail, but I think the office space, we're seeing a lot of corporates saying, you know, there's a new way of working, sort of rotational things. Big companies are seriously reviewing their office space requirements. So, no, I don't think so. And, of course, we've started to see interest rates rise, right? I think, as you say, you know, a lot of these guys have got these fairly big tranches of debt that are going to cost them considerably more. So I don't think the rentals are going to improve. You know, we know what's happening to administered prices. But I've been sort of a property bear for quite a long time, and I think it's going to remain a very difficult space. If we talk generally, I think there are some. If you look at, you know, companies like equities and those that are focused more on the new economy, I think they could do, or even a storage for that matter, I think they could do quite well. But if you're talking about the guerrilla REITs, you know, those with mainly retail and commercial, I think there's more pain to come. I can't think why you would chase it. The cement producers, I mean, South Africa needs to buy stuff, but if you want to play the GDFI construction thing, do you want to play the PPCs or do you want to pay one of the construction companies?
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty tough. And I think that the other problem is there is a lot of stock around if you take, you know, commercial and retail properties. So the argument that inflation, building inflation is there and that, you know, that... It just doesn't hold any water for me. So I'm maybe a little bit more optimistic on construction and materials than REITs, but not awfully much so, particularly in the cement space.
Yo, today is a tough show. we've got a question from McDonald and a question from Muhammad. They're both asking us about transaction capital. Can you talk about transaction capital, Rikus?
Transaction capital.
Yes.
Good set of results, sitting on a price earnings of about 36. I really, in this kind of market that we are sitting with, which is continuously pushing lower, I don't really want to sit with something that's on a 30 plus price earnings.
Yeah.
Price is down about, I think, around about 25% from its highs, and just technically it looks like it's going to push lower still. So in that sense, when they get to a decent valuation, I think it's they've got a nice niche in the market itself, and I'll be interested, but not at current prices.
Okay. And your thoughts, Graham?
Yeah, for me, it's one of those that I sort of, you know, at the time I thought, you know, debt collection and, you know, taxi finance and sort of took a fairly jaundiced view, and, you know, boy, was I wrong. So I think you're asking the wrong person. For me, it really was one of those that got away. I think it's a good, well-run business. I think they understand their businesses and their customers very, very well. I'm not sure. I'm not close enough to the financials, but you know, I think it is a very well-run business. I think if you like the narratives of the things that they're involved in, and I think things like taxi finance are quite inspired, and not many people probably playing there.
Yeah.
You know, this thing's back at where it was, you know, last year this time, and they've probably, as a business, they're better placed now than they were a year ago. So I'm sort of take the what's it the first and say I'm not entirely sure about the price and the financials, that the business model looks to me to be quite good, and I think it's one of those that'll probably always look and feel a bit expensive.
Because of its nature being, you know, participating in a niche industry. Interesting. We've got a question here from Pavel who says he wants our thoughts on Vodacom on MTN. They've been quite low for a few days now, and what's causing this, and can we see a recovery anytime soon? From concerned investor, he says. Rikus, what's happening to our networks?
Well, of the two, I prefer MTN. That's purely from an operational perspective and also geographic spread. I think what's hitting MTN specifically is, first of all, getting their cash out of Nigeria, and obviously a stronger rand is also affecting their earnings. So I think they probably overran a little bit when they got to the what was it, about 220 rand level. So at the moment, the price is going down, as we know.
Yeah.
It could go lower, but it's certainly, I think, fundamentally something I want to be in. Specifically, the optionality is the word Graham used. As far as their financial arm is concerned, specifically in the rest of Africa, that is a hugely important and hugely developing market, specifically on the African continent, and they're right in the middle and very well placed in that perspective. But as always, one has to have that, shall we say, developing market risk premium that one should build into it. So I think it just got overbought, and let's see how far the pendulum swings to the downside. But certainly something that I'm very, very interested in.
Okay, Graham, your hot take on our local networks?
I think what Rikus was saying is right, but let me caveat it and say somebody asked me when MTN was 70 Rand what I thought. And I said, well, you know, once they've pivoted into financial services, you know, then I think it'll be a good story. You know, here we are, double that level, you know, so I clearly can't read these things. But at its core, right, my view is that, you know, mobile operators are moving into financial services, and financial services companies are moving into mobile. My worry is that data is still too expensive in South Africa, but companies like Rain will offer you uncapped 4G for $250. So, you know, the argument of them selling more data because of 5G and stuff, I don't really buy it. I think we're going to hit a threshold. And, you know, a lot of cities are moving and quite aggressively trying, as are people like Elon Musk, you know, to make data broadly available. And yeah, some of them, you know, it's heresy. They want to do it for free. So I think my concern is, at their core, they still sell airtime and they sell data. And I think the challenges around the new players and fiber are going to eat away at that. And I don't personally see the explosion in the financial services fast enough and material enough to offset what's going to be, I believe, declining revenues. I agree with Rikus that I think MTN is better placed.
Okay, sorry, Graham, we have to take our stock picks for the evening.
Sure.
Yes. We'll take the MTN and the networks to our two hard piles. So what's your stock pick for the evening?
Yep.
Your stock picks.
Okay, my stock?
Yes.
Okay, shall I go?
Yeah, cool.
Okay. So I'm going to call Cup Industrial.
Why?
It's to me, it's like the modern Bidvest. They've got a plastics business, and effectively, you know, one of the only PET plant in South Africa. They've got an industrial cluster which includes PG Bison. So to me, a very, very well run, very well vertically integrated business. I think the forward multiple's well under 10. Balance sheet is very, very healthy, modest debt levels. For the people who don't like goodwill and intangibles, the balance sheet is pretty much plant and equipment. So I think it's a good business. I think it's well run. I think it's got a good leadership team and a good board. I think to me, this, as I say, is you know, tomorrow's
okay.
Bidvest.
Yeah, so this is a diversified business at the right price. I like that. GAP Industrials. And your stock pick for the evening, Rikus?
It's sort of defensive. It's Visa.
Fantastic. I've Why?
Well, a couple of reasons. If we do go into a recession, they won't they won't be immune to it, but they'll be one of the first companies to recover. I mean, they're basically the rails on which commerce run, if you understand what I mean, because they're making money out of transactions. And in the very short term, go and take a look at what's happened with American credit card purchases. They are really accelerating, so I would expect a very good earnings number from Visa in the next 6 months, which should also support the price, which, by the way, is now only above about 3% above the pre-pandemic level, as opposed to, for example, Apple, which is about 50% higher than pre-pandemic. So it gives you a sense of how far things can pull back if we are, let's say, going back to a pre-pandemic type of economic environment.
Yeah. Okay. So you like Visa. I like Visa too. So thank you very much, gentlemen, for that. Thanks to my guest, Graham Koerner from Koerner Perspective, and Rikus Riedus from PSG Wealth. Santon, join Zanati for the Friday edition of Stock Watch. That's tomorrow at 19:30. Have a good evening. We'll be right back.